This actually is not a very positive passage, you know, to use for a sermon. Because, you know, only a tiny part of it seems to be very encouraging, and the rest of it, you know, is about judgment, is about condemnation. And if you look at our order of worship today, you find that, you know, there are a few extra things in there. For instance, you know, we had All Saints Remembrance. Later on, Pastor Richard is going to lead us in a prayer for the persecuted church. This is the month that honors, you know, internationally those who are being persecuted because they are Christians. And we are about to kick off our 15 days of prayer and fasting season. We would encourage you to pray, and if you also choose to, fast as well. So in the midst of all these things happening, and especially in today's service context, you know, what are we to do? We pray that whatever we do, we will never lose focus of God. And that is very easy for churches and believers to do. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 and 31 is about not losing sight of God in the midst of whatever happened, especially calamity. Many people love to quote the first part, but they're a little bit hesitant about the second part because the second part doesn't sound as encouraging and as positive as the first. But if you look at these two verses together, you find that, you know, God was saying that he has been looking, he is still looking, for people to stand in the gap, for people to be the intercessors, people who stand between him and the world, between him and other people. And what are these people who are standing in the middle supposed to be doing? They are supposed to pray. They are supposed to intercede, to remember for the other people. And God said that's what he's been doing, looking for such people. But he says that in the end, he has to give up. So much so that he has no alternative but to pour out his anger on the land and consume it with his anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done. This must exceedingly sadden the heart of God. But behind these two verses, we can see a more positive side. That in the very heart of God, you know, God is extremely unwilling. It makes it very difficult for him to bring down judgment on people, even though they deserve it. So God was doing everything that he possibly could and said, you know, I'm going to look for people. I've started it and I continue to look for people, at least one person, among them who would build up the walls and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. This is actually a very, very positive passage for us. God has a certain passion. He has a certain, you know, agenda. God wants very much to have people to spend time with him, praying for other people. He wants very much believers to come crying out to him, talking to him. We are today embarking on a time of prayer and fasting. It is something that we don't usually do, but it is important that we do it from time to time, whether individually or in groups, because if you look at the, the yellow sheets, the bulletin, you find that, you know, there are a number of very compelling reasons why we do so. To begin with, we have needs that only God could fulfill. We see needs, but we know that, you know, hard as we try, we are not going to get anywhere unless God leads us. We know that God has given us a lot of opportunities, but we need God's guidance and blessings and agenda. We are thankful to God for new and expanded staff, but the staff needs wisdom from God, encouragement from God. We know that we face spiritual warfare, and who can undertake it on our behalf? No one except God. So there are a lot of reasons why we, from time to time, as individual believers and as a whole church, needs to come together. We must come together to pray. Come before God. In fact, I like the way Isaiah 62 puts it. You know, come before God in such a way that God is unable to take a break. come before God in such a way that God is unable to rest whatsoever. But before we look at Isaiah 20, 62, let us pray. Father God, we pray that it would be your Holy Spirit speaking, convicting us of the importance, the privilege, and also the power of seeking you. Forgive us, O Lord, because you know we are weak, but we praise you, Father God, for you are strong. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 62 puts it in this way, that we are to come to God and not allow God any rest. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. These watchmen would never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, these are the people. You who call on the Lord gives yourselves no rest. You know, do not take a break at all. Whether it be night, whether it be day, whether you are tired, whether you just, you know, you're full of energy, but keeping, you know, keep calling on the Lord. And then notice what the next verse says. And give him, give God no rest. Do not give God a break at all until God established Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. I like the way Isaiah approaches God. He knows that God loves for his people to call to him. And he says, you know, do so. Those of you who are praying, those of you who have requests to bring before God, those of you who come giving thanks to God, you know, do not stop doing it. But at the same time, you know, do it in such a way that as if we are bothering God, you know, every minute. As if, you know, God has to listen to us all the time, that God is unable to take a break. God loves for his church, his people, to disturb him and give him no rest. God finds it impossible to rest because you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, are coming so often before the throne, pleading, interceding, begging, crying to him for mercy. God loves that kind of situation. Of course, we are only here speaking figuratively. We know that God does not rest. Just like Psalms 121 says, you know, he who watches over us, over Israel, he will never sleep nor slumber. But here Isaiah says in 62 that, you know, in a way, it is possible to not give God any rest because this is what God wants from his people day and night. God is awaiting his people to seek him, to speak with him. So today we are setting aside the next 15 days to pray. And if you also choose to fast, as pastors, we urge you to set time. And we thank that, you know, thank you, because we know that many people are already doing so. To set aside even more so time to spend with God. Come before him. Do not give God rest day or night, figuratively speaking. In fact, do not give us a break because we are serious about seeking God. You know, we can take comfort in the fact that, you know, when we come before God, God definitely would listen. Already we've seen in Ezekiel chapter 22 that God was listening, he was looking for people to come before him, to talk to him from day one. And in the end, he was so disappointed, he said, you know, I couldn't find anyone. I have no choice but to allow judgment to fall upon these people. And now Isaiah is saying, you know, basically the same thing. You know, God doesn't want to take a break from us. God wants to be disturbed all the time by his people. So God actually wants us to come before him. And the reason he wants us to come before him, because there are certain things that matters to the heart of God, certain things that are important to him. For instance, God is a God who keeps covenants. He has a passion in keeping covenants. When God enters into a relationship with us, God says, I'm committed to this relationship eternally. I'm not going to leave you. Not today, not for a little while, not even for a few seconds, but I'm going to be with you. I'm committed to you at all times. And so long ago, even before the people of Israel, you know, had an opportunity to settle in the land, you know, filled with honey and milk, God was already reminding Moses that, therefore, Know that the Lord your God is God. God is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God says very clearly that, you know, once he loves a people, he would make sure that he holds up his end of the bargain forever. And so in the next 15 days and even beyond, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be, you know, really marvelous for us to come before God in whatever way we choose? We come before God because we are confident that God wants us to do so, and God wants us to keep our relationship with him. And when we come before him, he will definitely listen. We can also come before God with confidence because we know that another thing that matters to the heart of God is God's everlasting love, forever love. It is a motivation to give God no rest day and night. I'm certain that once God extends his love, he never extends it for just a period of time, but rather that the love of God, as described in Jeremiah chapter 31, is that of from eternity to eternity. Here God told Jeremiah and his generations, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And then he concludes in the second half of the same verse, therefore, with loving kindness, with mercy, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. I've taken you to myself. This is another thing that matters to the heart of God. And when we pray, we know that because of God's compassion and loving kindness, the moment we come before him, the moment he's already there embracing us, and he will hear our prayer. There's also another reason why we can come and pray with confidence and trust, because God also has a passion for intimate nearness. God wants to be close to us. We are not saying that God is lonely. There is only one God, but this only one God is altogether sufficient in and of himself. However, the nature and the heart of God is such that God wants intimacy. God wants closeness, nearness with his people. He loves to have people come and bother him. He loves to have people come at, you know, when they are down at odd hours to pray to him and not give him a break. He loves for his people to draw near to him. I like Psalms 73:28. Psalm 73 is one of the most depressing psalms in the Psalter, because it talks about, you know, the unjust people getting rich, the wicked people prospering, but those people who follow God, you know, they seem to get the shorter ends of the stick. But here in Psalms 73, towards the end, the psalmist says, you know, I have learned something through it all. But as for me, it is good for me to be near God. As for me, it is good for me to be near God. Interestingly, you know, some Bible teachers are sharing that, you know, there is another way to translate as for me, it is good to be near God. Several versions would translate it this way, and it is equally valid. But as for me, the nearness of God, the closeness of God, that God next to me is my good, my greatest good. Not only is it good for me to draw near to God, but you know, God next to me, God coming to sit beside me, God drawing close to me is my good. So when we pray, whether with joy or with a heavy heart, we thank God that he comes and sits next to us. He listens to us and he says, you know, I understand. And he answers our prayer. And then there's also yet another reason why we can come and pray before God and why we must. Because God has a passion that the whole world might know him. Surely this is a very powerful motivation for all of us to be constantly before the throne of grace, pleading with God for those who have not yet believed in him. Do not give up if you have been praying for your loved ones for years or maybe many years. God knows. but just come before God from time to time and disturb God and say, God, soften his heart or her heart, that they may also come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not give up. If you do not seem to receive any results, but God says that, you know, the things he wants us to do is that, you know, to come before him because he loves for us to pray for the non-believers. You know what a shame it would be if we give God a break in the next 15 days and beyond. We might pray and we said, you know, God, you got enough things to do, you know. Let's give you a break. Let's give ourselves a break. Wouldn't it be a shame for our church and for the believing community, because that is farthest from the mind of God? We hope that, you know, this season of prayer and fasting would bring revival. We also pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us to pray. It doesn't matter whether anyone knows about it or not. The important thing is that God knows. We also pray that, you know, as a result of people, you and I, with or without people knowing, coming before God, God says, you know, they are doing something that caused me to smile. They are doing something that forces me to act, and they are doing something that is giving me no rest. I love about that, and I'm going to do something and show my glory in their midst. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you that even though we know so little about prayer, souls to speak disturbing you, and yet you tolerate us. But we pray, O Lord, that you will wake us up. We pray, O Lord, that you will re-energize us. Help us to frequently disturb you, if we may. Come to you and pour our hearts to you, but doing it in a way that brings you smile, in a way that boldens our faith, in a way, O Lord, that causes the church, your people, to thrive. For we ask this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we remember the Lord of resurrection, who invites us to come before him, let us remember that when we come before God, he's more than able to do what he has promised to do.